Featured underground artist John Humphreys spent his summer as an international exchange artist on the tiny Mediterranean island nation of Malta, looking up. The result is a series of watercolor drawings of sky, as if peering through a fisheye lens while laying down in the middle of a city street lined with skyscrapers. Humphreys was fascinated by the layout of the capital city, initially designed by the Knights of Malta, a religious order that took possession of the island in the 16th century. His sketches reveal softly colored geometric shapes wrapped around space.
Because this is a city that's been built up over hundreds of years, each intersection, even though it's on a perfect 90-degree grid, is radically different because the buildings are taller or smaller, or there's a church on a corner, or there's a shop, or there's something that's been added, or banners, or a cornice, or something that's happened, or they've made the street wider for some reason. And so each intersection was actually different. So I found an inconsistency, which was really fun.
Where most of us are oblivious, artists tend to see form, pattern, texture, and rhythm. Artist-designer John Humphreys is an assistant professor in the Department of Architecture and Interior Design at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. He lives in Cincinnati. The work's delicate, precise, and compact. His studio is small and very clean, he says. In the back of the gallery hang four larger watercolor mixed-media drawings of what looks to be deconstructed architectural models. His underground show in the Revolver Gallery is titled Fragments of Landscape.
So you'll see elements that remind you of, if you've flown over the Midwest, the crops and grain fields and other things, that type of pattern in the landscape, but also the way that overpasses might make a shadow on the landscape, or if you start to build a shed or something in your garden, you might find those things also. The surveyor's lines and things like that.
As the humidity and temperature change, these compositions may move, Humphreys said. The two final collections refer back to the Malta trip.
One are more vertical, and those are the bastions and curtains and medieval defenses, or the stone defenses around the island of Valletta and how those meet the sea.
Across the way, the odor of fresh oils permeate the Hive Gallery, filled with Jan Gosnell's paintings and drawings. The exhibition is titled Full of Brush Man, a Rowdy In-Your-Face Show. One image is of a paintbrush standing erect in a rowboat far out at sea with no oars.
I don't know. I think of this as a cross-section between traditional painting and pop comic art.
Gosnell says he's a contemporary of famous illustrator R. Crumb, from whence he shares the satirical, subversive, and weirdly erotic. Jan Gosnell is a former newspaper editorial cartoonist who's transposed that skill onto canvases thickly painted with gaudy color. But rather than politics, he caricatures humans now, a puckered red-faced laborer in a dago tee smoking a hand-rolled cigarette, a vapid Gen Xer tethered to his iPod, rendered in cool blues, and a trio of pissed-off elders shoving their way toward an elevator.
It's about a 40 by 50 size painting. It's called Assisted Living, and basically it's from my own experience with my mother, who has been in that position for several years. And she lived on the third floor, and I would go up and down on the floor. From third floor to the first floor, there would be people always waiting to get on the elevator, right up against the door. And when we'd open the door, they would be trying to get in before you could get out.
Because they don't want to miss their ride, right? Full of brush, of course, is a play on words, and for this artist, art is play, mostly. But Jan Gosnell has degrees in it, taught it, exhibited widely, works as an arts technician, and even acted as an arts correspondent in the feature film The Blue and the Gray. Of course, his illustrations star in the film, but the centerpiece in this underground exhibition is a mural of a saloon.
You know, this is like a bucket list painting. Before I die, I should paint a bar mural, and that's my bar mural there.
A bar mural in a bar.
That's right.
Yeah. In a gallery looking at a bar mural in a bar.
Yeah, it's basically three paintings almost. As you have the cowboys looking at the bar mural, you have the woman in the painting who's looking at the viewer, then out through the window you have something else going on in the landscape. So
Jan Gosnell logs ideas with felt markers, ink pens, and graphite onto sketchbooks. He has an entire library of them now, but he doesn't have a website. Patrons may take respite from the colorful chaos in Gosnell's portfolio of classically rendered Conte crayon figure drawings. Jan Gosnell has a studio in the underground since it opened more than 2 years ago. Over in the vault, Dwayne Gardner is showing a series of minimalist marks on paper.
The medium is, I use various different medium, oil bar or oil sticks, which I love, graphite. There's some acrylic paint and also oil paint.
The masonite panels are set on pine frames, and the images reveal some emotional purging, each inscribed with a phrase or word, such as un mal momento, one bad moment in Spanish. Gardner, by the way, is Mexican-American. Another says lost or bad timing or I'll own it all.
The use of the text is new for me, and the reason why I wanted to try that was I couldn't really convey or didn't feel like I could convey what I wanted to with just shapes. And I tend to get stuck on a certain shape and have to work through that. And, what I was thinking was more than the shape. And so I decided to go ahead and try using text. I've always kind of been opposed to it. So I kind of had to talk myself into it and had to go back to...
Why opposed?
I think I just felt like it would be too easy or kind of maybe a little bit of a cop-out somehow. But when I started looking back at the artists that influenced me, Robert Motherwell, Cy Twombly, they use text in some of their paintings, and so I thought if they could do it, why can't I?
Dwayne Gardner explores shapes in and around letter forms in this work, and the words are obscured but reiterated on show cards just in case. Gardner is an abstract painter who's stepping toward more narrative work.
Prior to these, I would always say, people would ask, what does it mean? And I would tell them that they don't really mean anything. It's just abstract work. There's no one emotion. But for these, there are definite and specific emotions.
That's a big threshold to cross.
Yeah.
What's going on then?
It's been an interesting year, so.
Dwayne Gardner's exhibition is titled The Day After Yesterday.
I just kind of liked the play on words. I liked the way it sounded, but I also kind of liked what it meant. A few friends that I've told the title to, their comeback is, well, that's today. I'm like, well, yeah, but if I wanted to name it today, that would be boring.
And you have tomorrow and all month to see this work, as well as craft and sculpture over in the East Street Gallery, which this month features the award-winning hot glass artist Ed Pennebaker, a collection he's titled Connections, Linkages to Nature, Both Harmonic and Dissonant. Pennebaker could not make the interview, but do explore two unique pieces, a voluptuous ruby glass chrysalis hanging from a metal tree, and a lovely glass, copper, and bronze vessel titled Dancing Water, with aquamarine glass water flowing up toward the sky. You can see much more of his work at redfernglass.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.